many, and I hope we could call our own. It's time for that dream to shine and wave goodbye as we go rolling on.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney, and that music was made by my first guest today, Aaron Heist, face-to-face, live in the studio with me right now. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. So we were just listening to Train to Cheyenne off your new EP, and we're going to talk all about that. But first, let's talk about you, Aaron. A lot of listeners know you. We've had you on the show many times for many different things, but today it's all about your music. So would you please just start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your work?
Sure. Well, yeah, I've been fortunate to come on Juno Afternoon quite a bit over the years. So I was born in Ketchikan and raised here in Juno and grew up going to the Folk Fest and fell in love with folk music. I saw Panhandle Crabgrass Revival Band when I was 16, and I was just completely starstruck, and it took me a decade to figure out what kind of music they were actually playing and how to start playing it myself. And since then, I've really fallen in love with old time music and bluegrass music. I play in a Cajun band with the North Country Cajun Club. I play bluegrass and country duets with my husband, Andrew Heist, and play old time with a band called Sugar Shack, run the bluegrass slow jam, which hopefully one day will start soon. And yeah, I've just been really fortunate to really have had a sort of upbringing in music here in Juno and in Alaska's traditional roots music scene, which is this really vibrant, amazing community of people across the state. But all of that's just been performing and jamming and playing live music to people at bars or in, you know, little concerts or at weddings. But I had never recorded anything in my life. And so that's how this EP project kind of came about. Yeah.
Well, that's also interesting. I mean, what led you up to this point? I mean, we're just, you know, we've spent a year and a half or more really hunkering down, and I don't know how long you've been thinking about doing a solo project, if it was well before that or if it was a product of this sort of downtime that we've all sort of had together.
Yeah.
Or something else, or both.
It was really both. You know, the kind of music that I play, a lot of the songs that we play are traditional songs. They're songs that have been around or based on songs that have been around for 100 years or more, sometimes much longer than that. And I really wanted to start writing my own original songs. And I, in 2020, made the goal that I was going to write one song a month. And it didn't matter if it was good or bad. I just had to write a song and then move on. And actually, the song that you just opened up with was the very first song that I wrote in 2020. And then, I mean, we all know what happened in March of 2020. and so I started a writing group with a bunch of women that I had met through the roots music scene throughout Alaska and the Pacific Northwest. And a couple of those ladies, you know, we basically just started giving each other prompts. And I managed, unbelievably, to keep writing music all through the pandemic. And it was really kind of the way that I think, centered myself and found some sort of creative outlet. I think we all dealt with the pandemic in different ways, and I feel really fortunate that for me it meant that I actually created something. And so then this year in 2021, I thought, all right, well, I just wrote a bunch of original songs. I guess I should start maybe recording them. And I got a grant from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. I received one of their individual artist grants, which helped fund this EP project. And since I had never recorded anything in my life, I thought of somebody that I really trusted and loved and admired, which is my cousin Patrick Troll. And so I just called him up and asked if he could maybe come help me figure out how to do this.
I think that's terrific. And our listeners may know Patrick Troll is DJ Alternative. He does Burger Church on KXLL. Big friend of the station, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And his band Whiskey Class also just released an amazing EP. So
yep. And we interviewed them on Juno Afternoon as well recently. So that's great. So tell me a little bit more about your collaboration with Patrick Troll and how he sort of helped you bring it up to the level that you wanted it to be for the final product.
Yeah. Well, I think part of what I started out with was I knew that I wanted and needed to learn how to record. And so knowing that I was going to work with Patrick, I sort of sat down and looked at the list of songs that I had written and then other songs that I just really had loved during the pandemic and thought about which ones might suit his style a little bit more or could be more of a stripped down production because I really wanted to try and just do this with me and my guitar and then maybe ask my husband Andrew to come in and put a little mandolin or fiddle or harmonies on top of things. And so kind of coming up with that list, having some conversations with Patrick about what it was I was looking for, that kind of stripped back feel, a couple of tracks where maybe he could put a little magic, a little shine on there. And then I flew him up and he came up in April and we spent 4 days in Studio A working 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and just started. I think at first part of it, because it was a new experience for me and I had never worked with Patrick before in that way, there was a little bit that first day of kind of getting used to each other and earning each other's trust a little bit. I mean, he's family. He also grew up in Ketchikan, and so we're very, very close as family, but we had never really been creative partners like that, mm-hmm. which can be a really vulnerable place. And then he was just so unbelievably wonderful, and getting to see somebody you love do something they're so good at was just, yeah, it was a treat. It was like an absolute pleasure. And that's part of why I'm so excited about this EP is I just love that I got to do that with him.
Well, the single's out now. It's available on all streaming platforms. It's called Another Rainy Day. And let's listen to it now.
Right.
Anything you want to say to set it up?
It's 100% inspired by last summer's ungodly, never-ending rain. This was one I wrote to meet my writing deadline, and I wrote it in 20 minutes, just looking out the window and being a little angry and sad. So
I think we'll all be able to relate to that. Here's Another Rainy Day by Aaron Heist.
Say goodbye to the sun. She won't be back for a while. And goodbye to you. You had to be going your way.
You're tuned into Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney, and we just heard a little bit of Another Rainy Day from Aaron Heist. It's a beautiful song, and you sound so good. And this song is available on all streaming platforms now. And the release of your EP is this Friday, and a full album to follow in 2022. I just wanted to ask, how can we support you and other local artists who are putting music out right now?
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of performing musicians were just starting to come out of this enforced hibernation. And I know there are a lot of online concerts that people were giving. I mean, I think the biggest thing that folks can do is go to Bandcamp, go to somebody's artist webpage. And even if you don't necessarily want to buy an album, a lot of artists these days are really using those platforms as ways to make up for the income that they all lost. I mean, it was like a light switch got flipped off in March of 2020. But even just, I mean, just listening, talking about songs, sharing songs that you like with your friends. I mean, I think, you know, we're gonna get back to live music. There's already been some live music events here in Juneau. I think we're really fortunate in the vaccination level that we're at in town, and it's made people start to feel safe. And it's going to be a while till we're really back fully, I think, in the live music world that we all miss and love. But I think a lot of especially professional working musicians have now different ways that you can financially support them. But even, like I said, even just sharing somebody's album or telling a friend about how much you love the song or that album, it all helps. And I think it all just comes down to taking a moment to recognize when you are listening to something that really touches you, and actually taking the time to try and reach out and share it with another person. I mean, that's why musicians record music. Yeah. You know, you want people to hear what you are feeling and want to express, and the desire to help somebody else through a moment or feel that some sort of new connection to that experience. And that's a pretty big gift, I think, that we can all receive.
Well, the timing is just right. You know, you wrote during the pandemic, and then you were able to start getting together with people when vaccinations came, and so the collaboration part could match up with the creativity. And another cool collaboration I thought that came out of this EP was your the photo shoot that you did with another musician that we all know and love. What was it like to model for Annie Bartholomew?
Oh my gosh, she's the dreamiest. Yeah, Annie B has just been, she's one of those people who, again, just will give and give and give and give. And she loves supporting other artists. And she's been a huge force just as somebody to talk through this process, because she's recorded several projects and it's all new to me. But so I had this idea for some photos that I wanted, and because I was releasing this album, I suddenly had to create a web page and a profile on all these different streaming platforms and come up with a way to talk about myself. And she makes me look so much better. Like, she makes me look like I know what I'm doing. So if there are other performers out there who are looking for photos, Annie B is awesome. But she also, I'm so excited, we also got a grant from the Alaska State Council of the Arts, and we're doing some music videos.
Oh, nice.
So we're working on the post-production part of that right now. But so I have more exciting things coming out in the next couple weeks, which I'm really pumped about.
Oh, that's great to hear. Well, I cannot wait to hear more about that. I hope you come back with Annie and we get to talk about that at another time. But in the meantime, your new single, Another Rainy Day, is available now on all streaming platforms, and the release of the EP is this Friday. Aaron Heist, thank you so much for being with me. Thank you for this new music, and congratulations on the EP. We've got one more song as we close out today. This is Reckoning on the Line. Would you like to say anything about it?
It's not at all true.
Not based on true events. Well, thanks again so much for being here today, Aaron.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Up next, the name of the game is Match by Design, how the Alaska Design Forum is hoping artists and designers across Alaska will help create the final product.
Reckoning on the line, it's coming down.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. My next guests are here from the Alaska Design Forum. Welcome, board members Christine Carpenter. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
And Julia Folan. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
So, Christine, let's dive right in. Starting with you, you're the Juno Chair of the Board of the Alaska Design Forum, and you've been involved with them a long time. Tell me what the last year and a half or so has been like for the group.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a rough road. For people that know us, you know that we bring in artists or designers, really, and sometimes artists from all over the world to fly in, and they do lectures in our three main cities, which are Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juno, and that obviously couldn't happen in the last year. So we've been really doing a lot of rethinking, and it's been kind of nice actually at a board level to try to figure out like, oh, you know, maybe we could do something new and something a little bit different and something more and something interesting. And so we've been doing a lot of Zoom lectures with our guests that we had already booked out. And so we started 2021 with a new platform, doing some Zoom lectures. And then we have this program that we're going to talk about today called Match My Design that we've been doing.
Julia, how about yourself? How did you become involved with the Alaska Design Forum, and what would you add to what Christine just said?
I have been volunteering with them for years. I've been showing around a lot of the guests when they're up here in Anchorage, and they stayed at my Airbnb. So I've been kind of pretty involved with the guests, and I've gone to the lectures for a long time. I think they play an important role for design in our three cities and for the state as a whole, which has sort of been interesting in this last year and a half, because then people outside of Juneau, Fairbanks, and Anchorage have been able to watch the lectures. And our design challenge is pretty easy to participate in statewide, which I think is really incredible. It has the potential to kind of join the state together.
Well, I've always been and am always continuously impressed by the innovations that I get introduced to through the Alaska Design Forum. So I'm not surprised that you guys are back strong with this new project. Let's talk about Match by Design. Julia, let's start with you this time. Do you want to tell us all about it?
Sure. The Alaska Design Forum has a long history of doing design challenges. And the extra challenge of this year was to find something that dealt with the season, the lecture season, which is the role of play. And also we wanted to come up with something that could live on beyond other seasons. And so Match by Design is essentially a matching card game where you can look for two matched images. And we are going to curate a game with submissions from around the state. So then you'll have a card game that can live on, and it's, you know, you play it literally, so it acts as a literal role of play, but it also has the potential to kind of connect people from around the state and showcase the talent of our community.
How else did the role of play shape up your lecture season and everything else that you guys have been working on this year?
Well, it's been an extra challenge a little bit with a Zoom role of play, but Christine, do you want to take this one? You were here at the beginning.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, I think we started last year serendipitously. Our theme was called Revised Utopias, which felt, you know, we came up with a theme long before any of us knew that COVID was going to be even an issue, or that we could even dream that there would be a world pandemic. And so it felt really applicable last year as we were exploring what like a new world looks like moving forward. But it was kind of a heavy theme, and we all kind of rejoined together, and we really liked the idea about doing something that was more fun, more lighthearted. Another member of the board and I had read this article saying that teeny bopper, like lighthearted sitcoms were at the height of like in like 50 years, that like that's what everybody was gravitating towards, because they didn't want to be listening to something that was so heavy in their off time. I mean, the world was already heavy enough. So this was something that was supposed to be kind of fun and lighthearted, and we've had one lecture so far this year with Roseanne Bosch, who's in, I'm going to forget where she's from. Julia, do you remember?
Copenhagen.
Copenhagen, yeah. And she designs, it was a really great lecture. She designs schools and educational places, but she incorporates design into them. So, or incorporates play, excuse me, into her designs. And that was a really fascinating lecture. And we got a lot of really good feedback from people about how, you know, that it felt good. So we're excited about our theme this year and also incorporating this card game into it as a way to encourage people to continue to play in their designs.
That's great. Well, I'm really excited to see what people come up with for Match by Design. Can you tell me a little bit more about the parameters of what an artist who might be thinking about submitting should be aware of?
Sure. So we are asking people to, I mean, it was kind of really open-ended. The final product is going to be a 2¾-inch, right? 2¾ or 2¼-inch squares. So your artwork has to fit on that somehow, but really you could do anything you want. You could make a sculpture if you want. You could do some painting and scan it in. We also have pamphlets that are around town here in Juneau that have templates for people so they can have an idea about how big that is. You can find them at all. I dropped them all off yesterday at the Juneau Public Libraries. So you can do whatever you want. You could scan it in. You could do it digitally. You could take some photographs. I think we'd be open to some ideas of some photographs. But the whole idea is that it's going to be represented on a card, on the back of a card. And we really want it to be representative of what play means to you. That can be open-ended for sure. And as long, you know, we are really looking forward to seeing what play means to Alaskans. Especially now, it's summertime. I always think of play as like hitting the trails and running around town. And submissions are due by July 30th. You can send us, mail us submissions. You can email us submissions. I think that's about it, right, Julia?
Yeah, and anyone can, any individual or group can submit up to 10, which I think is really fun. It's almost in a way easier to do 10. Than one. You can kind of do like a series or an iteration of what that play means to you in Alaska, which is more playful, and you have a better chance of getting your images selected.
And you'll select 50 images that will become the cards for this matching game, like a memory game, which I just think sounds amazing. So what happens after the deadline? When will winners be announced? And then when can I see the game? You know, when will it be available to the public?
We're going to announce the winners and have the cards available to the public for our Anchorage Design Week, which is October 1st through 9th in Anchorage. And we will have pickup places in all three cities at that time and mail out any other cards during that time.
Yeah, and we're also going to do a virtual gallery, right, Julia, with all of the images as well. That'll be available. You know, you can see it wherever you are. You could send it to your mom if you're selected and send it to your mom in New York if you wanted.
Yeah, we're going to actually show all the submissions. Like everybody who submits will be in a virtual gallery during Design Week. So I think that'll be really fun to see what people have submitted across the state.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for telling me all about the Match by Design game. And if there's any artists out there listening, have your submissions in by July 30th and best of luck. Again, I'm really looking forward to seeing how it all turns out and seeing what images get selected for the game. But in the meantime, what else is going on for the Alaska Design Forum? What's coming up next for you apart from Match by Design?
So we have our lecture series will be starting back up in the fall, and we have a couple I think we have 3 or 4 lecturers lined up. Currently, we're all going to do them over Zoom, but that may or may not change. And there'll be I think we're going to try to do an in-person party at the end of the year. We'll see how that goes, depending on COVID case counts and whatnot. So we're still here. We're still doing stuff. We're keep your eyes on your emails and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And we're still here and still the same Alaska Design Forum that you know and love, but doing things a little differently.
And we will have a Petra Kucha for Design Week the first week of October.
Oh, that's great to hear. Great. Well, I hope you can come back on another time and talk about that in the future and about your lecture series in the fall. But in the meantime, good luck with Match by Design. I hope you get lots of excellent submissions. And thanks for being here today to talk with me.
Thanks, Shelley, for having us. I appreciate it.
Take care. Have a great day.
You too.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney, and my next guest today is Kate Inge, Grants and Marketing Coordinator for the Juno Public Libraries. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Shelley.
Well, thanks for being here today. We're going to hear all about what's going on at the library for the next month or so. But first, let's talk books, as we love to do. What are you reading right now?
Well, so right now I'm reading Ashes of Honor, which is by Sean N. McGuire. And, hang on, I'm getting a phone call for some. anyway, so sorry.
It's all good.
And it is a urban fantasy, and it's actually a series that is really popular with people here at the library. The first book in the series is Rosemary and Rue, and I'm rereading it just because I need a little bit of comfort right now, and I want a book that I've read before that I've liked. No surprises, something that I can kind of read to help me decompress with what's going on in my life.
Got it. Yeah, we all need those comfort books sometimes, like a good meal or a vacation.
Yeah, yep. And this is helping. And good. There's a lot of them, so good. I get to just kind of read on through the series.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm happy to hear that. I'm glad you've got something to binge. I haven't started anything new, but I just finished a book called Falling by T.J. Newman. It is all the rage right now. It's been like, I heard about it on Fresh Air last week, and it's been reviewed by the New York Times. It's written by a flight attendant, and it's a thriller, and it's just like top of the charts. So I zoomed through it. It was a quick read, and it was a real thriller, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, good. I might add that to my list because I do enjoy a good thriller, especially one that you can just kind of zip through and it's entertaining.
Totally. And I got it from the public libraries. You guys were very quick with the request. So I requested it one day and it was ready for me to pick up the next. I was very pleased about that.
Oh, good. I'm glad when it works out like that.
Me too. So what's on your list to talk about today, Kate?
So I still want to remind everybody that we are still in the middle of summer reading. Summer reading's going on until August 7th. And if you haven't signed up yet, it's still plenty of time to sign up. You can do it online through our website. You can get a tracker and keep track of how many minutes you read, or you can stop by the library. We have paper trackers if you kind of want to stay off the computer and take a break from all the digital devices.
Got it. Okay, good to know. What's next?
Well, and also as a part of summer reading, we have weekly crafts. So you can stop by the library and take some crafts for kids, and kids and their families can go home and do them. I think we had sidewalk chalk one week. We had Father's Day cards that kids could make, and we have a little paper robots that kids could also make using a template.
Excellent. And what about the Battle of the Books? Is that also part of summer reading, or is that something different?
It is something different. Battle of the Books is, I think it starts when school starts. So it goes through the fall and winter. But we know how popular this is, and we know we always have people clamoring for what books are on the Battle of the Book list early, especially, you know, summer before school. So all of the battle books are now on separate displays. They're all separated out. You can easily find them whenever you come to the public library.
Excellent. Oh, that's good to know. So that makes it easy for everybody who wants to participate in that.
Yeah.
And I have another thing that I know you wanted to discuss today, the new Wills program that's happening on July 22nd at 6 o'clock. I know those programs are really popular, and so it looks like you've got another one on the calendar.
Yep, they are always popular. I think we had like around 100 people, I think, last time who signed up. This time, the one on the 22nd is a little different because this time we're going to focus on parents and guardians who have minor children. Because that's not something we really have talked about before, setting up wills and trusts and all that kind of legal stuff is like really different when you add kids to the mix. And this way you can kind of, people can help get an idea of what they need to do and also ask questions because there'll be an attorney. We have Chris Walker is going to be participating. And if you have a question, you'll be able to ask him.
Excellent. All right. Well, Kate, thanks so much for joining me today. Is there anything else you want to share with our audience before we say goodbye?
Nope, that's it. Just we're open. We're open 7 days a week. We've extended our hours. So if you haven't come back to the library yet, please come on back.
All right. Thank you for the invitation. I will take you up on that.
Okay.
All right. Great to talk with you, Kate. We'll chat again next month.
All right. Sounds great.
Take care. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Good to have you here with us today. I'm Shelley Delaney. There probably aren't many university residency halls that offer views of a glacier, but that's actually not what the University of Alaska Southeast was recognized by the Macmillan Learning Company for. There are a long list of reasons that have nothing to do with scenery. Nathan Bodenstadt is here to tell us why UAS was rated so highly in a national survey on housing and residence life. He's the director of residence life at UAS. Welcome to the show, Nathan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here, and congratulations on winning the Assessment and Impact Awards in Housing and Residence Life.
Thank you. Yeah, it's kind of a mouthful, I know.
Right. Well, I want to unpack that a little bit and tell me specifically, I want to hear specifically why UAS was recognized for that and what it took to build that up. But let's talk a little bit about you first. What do you focus on in your position as Director of Residence Life?
Yeah, so as the Director of Residence Life, I manage student housing for the university as well as our dining services here on campus. And so we offer student housing for a wide number of students from traditionally aged freshmen to families, to elder individuals who are looking for a place to stay while they're in college. And we can provide housing to up to about 400 people whenever we have good enrollment at the university, which is pretty exciting.
So what are some of the reasons that UAS was recognized and rated so highly when it comes to residence life?
Yeah, so this particular award was all about assessment and impact, like you said. And so it was recognizing the university for some specific improvement that we've seen in our assessment data over the last several years. And in this instance, it was for a factor in the survey called the hall environment. And so this is looking at questions or looking at data related to student privacy, a sense of community, feeling that their facilities are clean and usable and approachable. And there's a lot of work that we've done over the last few years, taking a look at our assessment data and making some kind of targeted changes to our programming model to really increase that satisfaction among our students, which has been pretty exciting.
And what do you think are the most important elements that contribute to high quality of residence life?
Yeah, so the University of Alaska Southeast in general often leans on our small town, kind of small campus charm, right? And a lot of what we've seen trickle down into housing also uses that to build a pretty strong sense of community within our buildings. When you look at a lot of our larger institutions, you get these really big residence halls, right? We're talking about residence halls that probably can hold more people in one building several times over compared to all of our housing in general here in Juneau for the university. And that means that it's a lot easier to get to know the people around you, to have a sense of ownership over your space, to feel like you're making an impact in the community. And we found that that can be really powerful. And so we've done some work to kind of leverage the small town charm and the small community that we have on campus to allow students to kind of explore what it's like to, how do I approach my friend down the hall when they're being a little bit loud at night, and teach them how to handle those kinds of things, which is wonderful. We also know there's been even some recent studies done, not specifically about the University of Alaska Southeast, but national data that shows that people who live on campus are much more likely to succeed academically when they go to college. They're more likely to persist and actually finish their degree program. And so for us, knowing that we have such a significant impact on student success for university students, we want to make sure we're offering the best service possible for them.
And what's allowed you to implement or facilitate the changes and improvements needed to meet your standards and the standards of the students? And how have you been supported by leadership?
Yeah, the leadership at the university is really great, right? This is another place where our small campus atmosphere means that our leadership is really accessible. And so we were able to work with them to help explain the need for our residence life assistants, for our RAs, for our professional staff, and the important work that they're doing. We've also done some things kind of institutionally that have, you wouldn't see at another college, but that allows us to be really engaged with our residents. So for example, we actually run new student orientation for the Juneau campus as well, which means that on the first day, you know, right after move-in, we're interacting with our students in a really intentional way, and that allows us to build that sense of community, which has been really powerful.
Well, we are out of time for today. I'd love to talk to you more, but unfortunately, I just have another minute or so. So I wanted to say congratulations again. I think this is a wonderful accomplishment for you, a really big deal, particularly because the pandemic was so challenging for UAS and it affected every department. So I saw there's a lot of articles out there about this award recognizing UAS. So I will see if we can get some links to that up on the website so folks can read more about it. And congratulations again, Nathan. And thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you so much.
Take care.